Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 47. Good to see you here tonight. It's always a pleasure to be able to speak in English. Don't get too many chances to do that. What I found about conferences is they go by fast. So what I would suggest is if you're going to invite somebody, put all the pressure on them you can in the early part of the meetings, because 9 times out of 10, they'll show up at the last couple of meetings and say, man, I wish I would have been here at the beginning. Of course, after tonight, you might want to not invite anybody. I don't know how that's going to work, but Isaiah chapter 47, I want to read verse 7 and 8. It says, "And thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures and dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children." And let's pray. Why don't we stand and pray? Father in heaven, we ask you for your blessings. Lord, if you don't bless, there's nothing we can do. Our hope is not in our flesh. It's not in our ability to preach or to persuade. Our hope is in you.
Amen.
And God, I pray that you would have mercy upon every person that has come through the doors here tonight. I pray you'd have mercy upon me. I pray that you'd bring real revival to all of our hearts.
Amen.
And that revival would spread out through the city of San Antonio and Texas and around the world, that your name would be glorified. Lord, we pray that you'd bind the devil and let him not steal the Word of God out of our hearts. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to overcome the flesh with the cross of Christ.
Amen.
God, that we might walk in the Spirit and honor you in all things. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You can quickly read this chapter. I chose not to read the entire chapter, but you can quickly look over it, glance over it, so you get the idea. Because the content on my message is going to be in the middle of verse 8, that thou dwellest carelessly. I think if there's ever been a generation where people dwelt carelessly, I think it's in our generation.
Amen.
My wife Janice asked me, well, what is revival? And what are our expectations? The old timers called revival awakening. That you're waking up from your slumber. You're waking up from your sleep. And I would suspect tonight that that's our problem, that we get careless and we fall asleep.
Yep. Amen.
I'm not a miracle worker. But I serve a God that does miracles.
Amen.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
And I found that I have the same problems that you got.
Yeah.
I've been saved for 37 years. I'm catching up to Linda. I can remember when Linda said he was saved for 37 years. I used to think when I'm saved 37 years, for sure I'm going to be a saint. For sure, I'm going to have conquered all of those sins and temptations. I found out that it gets harder and harder as the year goes on. I thought it was supposed to get easier and easier, but the battle goes on. Now, I suspect here tonight that you came tonight because you're interested in the things of God. And I've gotten over the idea of beating people over the head with the Bible. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in helping you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm interested in helping you reap eternal benefits instead of reaping eternal consequences. So the Word of God that God has placed on my heart and is written in His Word can touch your heart tonight, and that's where I'm aiming. I'm aiming for your heart. Then we might see a change for eternity. And that's what we're looking for. Carelessly. Well, the opposite of that is with care. And as an English teacher, I'm always having to define words, so I haven't got out of that habit, so I'm going to define the words for you. Mr. Webster has helped us out. Care is to feel concern, be concerned, to trouble oneself, to feel an interest for things, or, there's a second definition, to be burdened, have a burdened state of mind arising from fear, doubt, or concern about anything. I think we're going to take the first definition, basically. So what does it mean to be careless? To be unconcerned, not caring or troubling oneself, having no care of or about things or people. Yeah. Here in this chapter, we find this is Babylon, that God is talking about Babylon, and He's telling them what's going to happen to them. And if Egypt is a type of the world, then Babylon is surely a type of religion. And we find that people today are very religious. Yet, we find that ourselves, we're very religious, aren't we? I mean, you came to church on a Friday night, that's pretty religious, ain't it? I mean, you carry a Bible around, wouldn't they say, oh, there goes that religious guy. If you're carrying a Bible, you're religious. But you know what? We don't preach religion. We preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we found that what religion does is religion paints people white, but doesn't change people from within. What we find is what Jesus Christ has said, they are whited sepulchres. But inside, they're full of dead man's bones. Carelessly. How many a forest fire has been started by somebody that was careless? You know, I mentioned that you came here tonight. Most people that I've met in my lifetime in preaching the gospel are not out and out rebellious against God. I mean, they are rebellious in a sense, but they're not, you know, they're not shaking their fist at God. They're not saying, I hate God and things like that. You'll run across somebody like that, but 9 times out of 10, they're just fed up with religion. I would say the problem that we have in not being revived and not being awakened is this thing called carelessness.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I grew up in Detroit. In 1967 and 68, they burned that city down out of rebellion.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago, there were riots out in L.A. where people purposely set things on fire. Yeah, but most fires aren't started that way. Most fires are started by carelessness. Somebody wasn't thinking. Someone did not feel, or I should say, somebody was unconcerned about the consequences of their actions.
That's right.
Another word we can say is we become complacent. And Webster has a fine definition for that word as well. Pleased with oneself or one's merits, often without awareness of some potential danger. Self-satisfied. Did you get a chance to look over that chapter? Did you notice some things about there? Because this is just a launching pad. Look down in verse 6. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Talking about Babylon. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. The first step that I've noticed in this road to complacency, and this road to carelessness and dwelling carelessly, is we get this attitude of no mercy. Do you remember when God Almighty saved you?
Amen.
And you rejoiced in the mercy of God? And it wasn't too long after that, all of a sudden you're looking down at the sinner and you're saying, oh, you're the wicked one. And you're pointing the finger and saying, yeah, he's the wrong one. And 9 times out of 10, the preacher's preaching the gospel and preaching the Word of God, and you're saying, that's a good message for him. Yeah, you're hitting him. Isn't that what the religious crowd does?
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
There's something that happens to his brothers and sisters. We get this attitude of pride.
Amen.
And somehow we preach grace and we talk about the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God, and yet we ourselves are so unforgiving.
Yeah.
Look at the divorce rate among Christians. Right. Now, divorce doesn't happen without people not forgiving. People do not forgive.
That's right.
They allow bitterness to get in their hearts. They become critical of their partner, their husband or their wife. And they say right here, they show no mercy. Yet they expect mercy for themselves. Isn't that amazing? When you're caught, you're begging for mercy. When you catch somebody else, hey, let's stone them. Yeah? But I would say that the world and the church, we ourselves, are crying out because there seems to be a lack of concern for our souls. David said this in the Psalm. He said, I looked on my right hand and I beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Isn't it a sad cry? When a child of God cries out and says, there's no man that cared for my soul. There ought to be, the church of God ought to be a caring people.
That's right.
It ought to be a concerned people.
Right.
And yet we dwell carelessly. Look a little bit further. Thou didst not lay these things to thy heart. We don't consider the consequences. Or we forget about the consequences. Or we ignore the consequences. Or we don't want to face the consequences. You know why a lot of people don't come to church? They don't want to get concerned.
That's right.
They know if they come to church that God Almighty is going to talk to them, and they don't want to talk right now. They're busy doing something else.
That's right.
If I come to church, they're going to get a burden. You know, I have sympathy pains. I don't like going to the doctor, and I don't really like visiting people in the hospital because they start telling me about their pains and I start feeling it. And I think that's a terrible disease to have, because they start telling you, oh man, my kidneys, and all of a sudden, oh man, my kidneys. Man, I chopped off my finger, and I'm thinking, oh man, my finger. Yeah? Look in your Bible, hold your place there, we'll probably come back. Look in Luke and chapter. You have a Bible, right?
Amen.
Isn't that a great thing that we got the Bible in our language?
Amen.
That God Almighty took time to write down His words so we might remember them.
Amen.
Luke in chapter 10, you heard the story. You probably know it. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, what's the natural thought process? Here's a priest, here's a religious man, he saw this man had some trouble, what is the natural process? He saw him. Doesn't say he didn't see him, it says he saw him. Our natural reaction, well, he's going to go over and help him, right?
Yep.
But look what it says. It says, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now that's our problem, brothers and sisters. We don't want to face our problems because we don't want to get concerned. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to care.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
We've become complacent. We've become self-satisfied. And we're more concerned about our problems than somebody else's problems. And you can mark that down. When we get to that position, we need revival.
That's right.
Are we not commanded as the saints of God, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, to love one another?
Amen.
Look a little farther. And likewise a Levite. Both of these men are believers in God, right?
Yeah.
You understand that? They believe in God. They believe there's an Almighty God. They believe the Old Testament Scriptures. It says here, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side.
Yeah.
We lay off the Bible, we lay off of church, and we try to stay away from the people of God because we do not want to get concerned.
Right.
We don't want to care. We want to dwell carelessly.
All right. Amen.
Isn't that a sad state?
Yes.
You and I as believers have to recognize that that is our tendency. That is the old man, that's the flesh in us that does not want to care. But the new man in us, which is Christ Jesus, he wants to care. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. May God Almighty grant us to have compassion. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him into an inn, and took care of him. Did you notice that? Took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? You know which one is the neighbor. You know which one's the good neighbor. And that's probably a good representation of Jesus Christ, right?
Amen.
He says, take care of him, and when I come again, I will repay thee. There's probably a whole sermon in that little verse right there, right? You know what he said? Take care of him. You taking care of your wife? You taking care of your husband? You taking care of your children? Are you taking care of your church? Taking care of your pastors? You taking care of your brothers and sisters? Are you taking care of your neighbors? Are you taking care of your co-workers? Isn't that our mission? I'm a missionary, so I got to throw a missionary sermon in here somewhere.
Amen.
We are commanded by God Almighty to love God with all our mind and all our heart and all our soul and our neighbors as ourselves.
That's right.
We serve a God of love, don't we? The complaint of the world and the church is they just don't care.
Yep.
If you ask Janice, she has reproved me more than once. She says, "Honey, what do you want to eat? I don't care." That's a mistake. Sauerkraut and weenies coming up. You said you didn't care. Here you go. You mark it down. I cared the next time. What do you want to eat? Steak, corn on the cob, potatoes, and a chocolate shake. How will that do? Yeah. Now I care. Yeah. We live carelessly. I remember as a young man, I spent a summer. I don't know what you call these hedges or bushes. Instead of a fence, they put hedges around our property. My dad decided he didn't want them hedges anymore. Do you know how hard it is to get hedges out of the ground? So he gives me a shovel and a hatchet. And I spent my summer shoveling and whacking. And I was down in the basement and I'm trying to sharpen this hatchet. My dad comes down, the all wise one, yeah? He comes down and says, "You're going to cut your finger off. Give me that thing. Let me show you how to do that thing." And you know what he did? He about cut his finger off. Yeah. We have the tendency to get careless.
Yes. Amen.
And it says in our text that they showed them no mercy. They didn't lay these things to heart. Look down at verse 8. They are given to pleasures. Hello, U.S. of A. You know what? They got so much pleasure on a telephone now, I don't know how anybody gets anything done. You do everything in the world on a telephone. You can pay your bills. You can text. They're going to be driving in cars with them things pretty soon. Pleasures. Pleasures. There's nothing that will make us more careless than pleasures.
Yeah.
We get so occupied with pleasures that we become unconcerned about the things that are more important.
Amen.
I think we're all guilty, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true.
Am I just talking to myself, or aren't we all guilty?
Amen.
Pleasures. Look in Hebrews in chapter 11 very quickly. Glad you have your Bibles. This is what it said of Moses in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You mark it down, there are pleasures in this world. And the old-timers, they talk about Vanity Fair. And yet, we're living right in the middle of it.
Yes, we are.
Right in the middle of it. But there's a choice we can make. Did you notice that? There is a conscious decision that we can make. And one of the reasons we have revival meetings is to remind us that we have that option. That we don't have to follow the pleasures of this world. We can make a conscious decision. We can do some calculations. And we can understand that yes, they're pleasures, but they're only for a season. And the choosing to suffer for Christ will last for all eternity. Janice and I have 4 children. We have 9 grandchildren and another one on the way. 2 of those children, or 2 of those families are in Poland. And 2 of them are here in the States. I don't know if you understand, that causes some problems. The ones in Poland, they're happy that we're in Poland, and the ones in the States, they wish we were in the States. And you just can't be in 2 places at the same time. But Janice and I made a calculated decision a long time ago that we're going to serve God because we're counting on eternity.
Right.
We're going to lose out on some things here. Our children, and any missionary that you know, our children had a hard time. Any missionary child is going to have a hard time coming back to the United States when they grew up in a foreign country. Now, we weren't there to help them. And that tugs on Mama's heart. And that tugs on Daddy's heart. But a calculated decision based on eternal principles found in the Word of God. The gamblers say, I'm all in, right? I'm all in for Jesus. There's where I place my bet. I place my bet on Jesus Christ and His Word. Where are you placing your bet?
Amen.
On the pleasures of sin for a season?
Amen.
All right. Back at our text. Can you believe this? You can get to the place where you say, I am and none else beside me? Where you say, I am, and none else beside me. Me, 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 I, and nobody else. God help us if the church ever gets to that place. But don't you find yourself there time and time again? Not my neighbor, but me.
All right. Amen.
Not you, but me. You get to the place where you say, it will never happen to me. I shall know of no loss of children. It's not going to happen to me. Now, when you're younger, a lot of young people think that way. No, it ain't going to happen to me. I can drive 90 miles an hour down the highway and text at the same time and talk and put lipstick on, no problem. Yeah, I'm not going to have a wreck. It's not going to happen to me. But it happens all the time. As you get older, you drive a little bit more cautiously, but you still have this attitude, it won't happen to me, you know.
Yeah.
And you really think, if I drive real careful, it can't happen to me. We had some dear friends of ours that came to Poland to help us get the gospel out. They went back. They're driving on slick roads in Idaho, and a truck on the other side lost control. hit their car, killed one of the sisters, and all of them were in the hospital. And they were driving cautiously.
Look down at verse 10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. You ever get to that place? Nobody sees thee. You look to the right, you look to the left, you forget to look up. God sees you. God sees you. You know, we don't serve idols. We don't serve these little images where they paint the eyes on, you know, and the eyes can't see, and they make the little ears, but the ears can't hear. They make the little feet, but somebody else got to carry it. We serve a living God. We serve the God that made the eye. We serve the God that made the ear. You don't think He can't see and can't hear? You think that only applies to the lost? It applies to you and I. He sees
Amen.
What you and I do.
Amen.
And if I read the Bible right, we're all going to give an account to Him. Yeah. Well, look down to verse 14. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves. Look down to verse 15. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. We serve a great God that is very patient. Thank God for that. My dearly beloved wife and my children reminded me that even though I'd like to think that I'm patient, I'm not. I told the waitress today, I said, well, there's no, you know, they burned the steak. And I said, okay, fine. Just bring me another one. And she came out, the waitress came out. The manager came out, was all concerned. Sir, we're going to have your steak. It's taking a little bit more time. I said, okay, I'm a patient man. And they're all laughing at me. Biting their tongue, you know. I thought I was patient. What's the problem? Dad. What I'm saying is, I don't know the line that a person can cross where there's no return. I think of God as being eternally patient, but that's not true. There is a point.
Yes, there is.
There is a point when God says, that's it. No more. I don't know where that point is, but I don't want to get near that border. Yeah. All right. There are complaints against the Lord, or I should say the complaints against the Lord are proof that we know how and when we should care. Yeah. Have you heard about the complaints against the Lord? People complain all the time in Poland. If there's a God, then why did He allow the Germans to conquer us? If there's a God, then why did He allow the Russians to haul off multitudes of our people to Siberia? So that tells me something. They understand the difference between good and evil. They have expectations of God. They expect God to behave in a certain manner. In other words, righteously. And God does behave righteously. God commanded man. He commanded the Germans. He commanded the Russians. He commanded the Poles. He commanded the Americans, thou shalt not kill. God Almighty said that. Now, if they disobey and they rebel, that's not God's fault. That's man's fault. You ought to be complaining about men that do not care.
That's right.
Not God. But in their complaint, they condemn themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they show themselves that they know what's the right way, what ought to be done. In other words, they're basically saying, if I were God, I would do it this way. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, why aren't you doing it that way? You said I am. All right, listen to the complaint. You got your Bible? Mark in chapter 4 and verse 38. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, talking about Jesus Christ. And they awake Him, talking about the disciples of Christ. And they say unto Him, Master, carest now that we perish? Now, we can understand the unbeliever, the atheist, the self-proclaimed atheist, the hater of God, crying out that God doesn't care. But this is disciples.
Now, you be honest with yourself. Haven't you said the same thing? Maybe not vocally. Not, I'm in a Wednesday night meeting or open meeting. You hadn't stood up and said, you know, I told God that I don't, you know, He doesn't care. But when you're going through some problems, haven't you thought it? Haven't you thought it? God, don't you care? God, don't you see what I'm going through? God, don't you understand? Huh? This was the apostles who were saying, don't you care? God, don't you care? Look, we already did Luke, but look at another passage in Mark in chapter 4. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong passage. Luke, I was correct the first time. Luke chapter 10. In verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, in the first case, the disciples said and accused the Lord of not caring. And what were they saying? That we know that you have ability to do something about this situation, but you're not doing it. That was the accusation. We know that you have the ability to take care of this situation, but you're not doing it. Now let me ask you, do you have the ability to take care of the situation, and you're not doing it? Let's start from the beginning. How about your marriage? Do you have the ability to take care of the situation, but you're not doing it? You're not willing to forgive. You're not willing to show kindness. You're not willing to show mercy. You're not willing to be patient. How about the church? You have the ability to do something about it, but what are you doing in order to build the church of God?
Right. Amen.
Didn't Jesus Christ say that He came to build His church? What are you doing to build the church of God? What are you doing to build this church? Are you spending your time trying to destroy it, divide it? Complaining, bitterness, indifference, coldness, lack of concern, lack of care. In a word, complacent. And now Martha's problem is a problem we see all the time, isn't it? We see it in children. I'm washing the dishes, but what about him? I'm taking out the trash, but what about her? I'm doing my part, but what about them? Yeah?
All right. Amen.
We're always wanting to point the finger at somebody else.
Amen.
We set out this sermon, and they showed no mercy. Lord, don't you care? Look! I'm serving! She's not!
Amen.
You want revival? Get concerned about
Amen.
How you stand before the Lord.
Amen.
And let the Lord take care of that sister over there.
Amen.
Let the Lord take care of that brother over there. He'll do it. Believe me. There's a warning in Scripture about not caring. Jesus said in Luke in chapter 21 and verse 34, He said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Isn't that talking about us? Excessive and overindulgence of things, surfeiting. The cares of this life. Why can't I read the Bible? Well, I've got plumbing to do. Well, I got to mow the lawn. Well, I got this to do. I got to paint the back roof. I got to go to work. I got, you know, kids are in soccer. I got to get to the soccer game. Why can't I go get to church? Well, you know, I got bowling on Friday night. I can't, you know, I'm kind of tired and
all
the cares of this world.
Yeah.
Well, I got to pay my debt. I got to feed my family. That's right. You have to pay your debts. You got to feed your family. That's right. But there are priorities.
Amen.
And isn't God the priority?
Yeah, that's
Isn't God's will the priority? Maybe you got your priorities wrong. Didn't Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you? You know, the problem we don't have revival is because we lack faith in what God said. God said, here are the priorities. You put me first and these things will be taken care of. But we got it all turned around. Most people do not give to God first. They give to God what's left over. Let me tell you something. The caring is not giving a bum the least amount of change in your pocket. I'll never forget the time in Warsaw, Poland. We had Romanian children all the time, professional beggars. And they would come and they'd beg us. And we had contact with these children all the time. We talked to them. We tried to help them. But they would follow us around and they just never let you go. They're just begging. Joe West and I, we were sitting in a restaurant. It was cold as usual in Poland. Drinking, he was drinking coffee and I'm drinking hot chocolate. Getting ready to go back out and preach the gospel. And here comes this little girl again. Yeah, you know, give me some. Go away. Man next door. Saw us sitting there, knew that we were preachers. Stood up. Showed us no mercy. You call yourself preachers? And you're not going to help that little girl? What can you say? Just sit there and took it. Then he's going to show us how he's going to help her. Yeah, he pulls out his wallet. He looked in there and saw them big old bills. Well, I don't have any of them big old bills. Well, there's some of them big old bills. He saw some of them big old bills. There's, I don't know how much that is, maybe $100. Saw that, he decided, no, that's not going to do it. Decided he'd go into his pocket and he fished around. And he found some coins, and he said, no, that's not going to do it. He finally found what would be equivalent of a penny. And he goes over there, and it's just for you, brother. I hope this helps you out. Go on. Anyway, God bless you. Sorry about that. Yeah? Now, maybe we are wrong. Maybe Joe and I hadn't quite figured out exactly how we could help this child. But you mark it down, this fellow didn't help that child. I don't have the answer on how to help all the beggars of the world. Amen. Financially. Amen. I don't really have the answer. I know that if they get saved, and we get their parents saved, then they would probably start working for a living instead of begging. There's some real problems. It's not that I haven't considered it. Mm-hmm. But handing somebody the least amount of change in your pocket is not helping them. And Jesus warned us the cares of this life so that that day come upon you unaware, dwelling carelessly. In Mark in chapter 4, he says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Isn't that our complaint, that we're unfruitful? Where's the fruit? Well, You preach the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's given to produce fruit.
Yes. Right.
But the problem is you can have the pure Word of God landing on a heart, but if it's being choked by the cares of this world and the lusts of other things, it's not going to sprout.
Amen.
It's not going to bear fruit. Isn't that the testimony of our lives?
Yeah.
Boy, I want to serve God. I want to do the right thing, but I just don't have time. Because all the cares of this world just choking me. All the lusts of this life are just choking me. I just can't do it. I can't give. Why can't I give? Man, I can't get out of my garage. Have you ever been in an American garage? That is a wild experience. I thought garages were for cars, but I guess they're for something else. There's so much junk in American garages. Unbelievable. I think every American ought to go live in another country for 6 months. They don't even make closets. Could you imagine an American without a closet? Some of of your closets are bigger than my bedroom, man. I'm telling you. I'm walking in. I was like, man, we could get our bed in here, man. This would be a nice, man, we'd have an extra room, leg room here. And then we complain about, well, we can't do things for God. Boy, we'd really like to help the missionaries. We'd really like to do this. We'd really like to do this. Wouldn't it be great to get everybody in San Antonio a letter with the gospel in it? Something like that. I mean, wouldn't it be great? To be on primetime TV, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. We got 15 minutes. Or like the Mormons do, we got the Reader's Digest, full page color ad. I really like these tracks. I thought you did a real good job on those. Those are nice tracks there. I don't know about my name being in it, but I mean the outline of it. Yeah. Another problem we have is feigned concern. I don't think God is looking for anything fake. I think all of us despise the fakiness in others. We kind of like the fakiness in ourselves because we think we're doing a good job faking it. But the fakiness in others, well, we don't like that. Isn't it amazing? I can't come to church. Too many hypocrites in the church, but you know, 9 times out of 10, the one that's the biggest hypocrite is the one that's not coming to church. Jesus said, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and what? Careth not for the sheep. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 6, this he said, talking about Judas, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, not because he would, but because he was a thief and had a bag and care and bear what was put therein. He said, should we sell that and give to the poor? Yeah. Boy, some people get really pious, don't they? Yeah. They really get pious. Not because they care, because they desire the glory and honor of men. Amen. Instead of the glory and the honor of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that we should have no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
The same care, unfeigned concern, one for another. What is the solution? The only solution for the lack of compassion is repentance. It's an awakening. It's an acknowledging that we have been careless.
Yes.
It's an acknowledgement of our guilt that we have dwelt carelessly.
Yes.
That we have judged others without mercy. That we have allowed pride to come into our lives and think that we are and that destruction and judgment for our sin will not happen to us. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 10, it says, for the godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to repent, be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter because you repented.
Yes.
And you repented after the godly sort.
That's right, amen.
Brothers and sisters, there's nobody in this room that does not sin. We're all sinners.
Right.
You're made out of the same clay that I'm made out of. I'm no better than you, and I fight the same old man that you fight.
Yeah, that's right.
I fight the same nature that you fight. We're all in this battle together.
That's right.
I have dwelt carelessly just as you dwell carelessly. But we are here tonight because we have expressed the desire by placing ourselves in a position where we can hear the Word of God, and hopefully that the Word of God will pierce our hearts.
Yes. Amen.
That it will break up the fallow ground and bring us to repentance.
Yes.
So that we can get concerned about the things of God.
Amen.
And that's where revival starts. It starts right here with the breaking of our own hearts. With a conscious decision that says, I'm a sinner.
Yeah. Amen.
I have been careless. I'm going to do something. That priest and Levite passed on the other side because they did not want to confront their problem.
That's right.
Had they stood over there, they would have had compassion because they would have saw the need.
Yeah.
and the compassion would have been building up inside of them. Why don't you face it? Take time to face it.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm cold. Yeah, I know. Face it. Don't pass over on the other side. Get closer to the Word of God. Put yourself in a position where God can bless you.
Amen.
I think if we can do that, brothers and sisters, if we can humble ourselves before God Almighty and cry out in true repentance, then we'll come to the place we'll have care and concern for the churches of God.
Amen.
Paul said, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. We have a lot of churches right around here. Yeah, the brother was just mentioning we have a church in Austin now, a church on the north side, a church on the south side, churches in Poland, churches in Mexico, the care of all the churches.
Amen.
We dwelt carelessly. Unconcerned. Maybe jealous of that church over there or that church here. Maybe some bitterness. Maybe some lack of compassion. Maybe that Martha syndrome. Lord, don't you care? What about us? Look, I'm serving. Look how long I've been serving. Look, Lord, look, what is she doing? As a preacher of the gospel, that's very dangerous. Because we're messengers of the Lord. We're giving the Word of God, but we always have to remember to preach to ourselves. He says to the bishops, for a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Isn't that the expectation of the bishops, to take care of the church of God?
Yes, it is.
Paul said of another, but thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into your heart of Titus for you. Some of these things have to come from God. Because it's not natural with us.
Amen.
Every once in a while you find somebody that naturally cares for somebody else. That's not me. I don't naturally care for people. I have to focus my attention off of myself and start looking upon that person.
Amen.
And consciously considering, what can I do to help this person? I don't always come up with the right solution. But at least I'm not complacent. And I'm putting myself in a position that I may be of help. And I cry out to God and I say, God Almighty, have mercy upon me.
Amen.
Because as I read this Bible, I find that charity is the principal thing.
Amen.
I want to close tonight. It's very possible, probable, that I haven't cared for your soul as much as I should have. Maybe it's possible that some of these brothers and sisters, you feel like that they didn't really care about you. Maybe you feel like David. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Maybe that's your complaint, and maybe you have a legitimate complaint. I'm not making any judgments in that area. But I want to tell you here tonight, there is somebody that cares about you.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. If refuge has failed you and all men have failed you, there's one that cares. He always cares. Even when you think he doesn't care, he cares.
Amen.
When you are in the darkest and deepest valley of depression, he cares. When you got a weight of debt upon your soldiers and you shoulders and you don't think that you can get out from under it, he cares.
Amen.
And he said this, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's talking about going to God Almighty in prayer and say, Lord, here's my problems. I can't do it. Lord, I got bitterness in my heart against the brethren. Lord, I've got pride in my heart and I've neglected my family. Casting all your cares upon Him. Maybe you got a legitimate complaint. You're laying on the street. You've been beaten and robbed. And you look up at the priest looking on the other, walking across the other side, and you're crying out for help, and he just ignored you. Maybe you're right in your complaint. But that ain't the case with God Almighty. Maybe you've got a legitimate complaint against me or maybe some of these other brothers, but you don't have that complaint. Legitimate complaint with God Almighty.
That's right. Amen.
Not with Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
There's no man like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That laid his life down willing on the cross just for you.
That's right.
Well, I think you got the point. I think it's here. I think you understood it, but is it here?
Amen.
This is a revival meeting. So I presume they're going to have an invitation. And that's just an opportunity for you to pray. An opportunity for you to confess.
Yeah.
An opportunity for you to cry out to God and say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Why don't you come? Right now. God's touched your heart. Come right down here and just make your confession to the Lord.
Amen.
You don't need music.